Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. It is 1:30 p.m. and the Board of County Commissioners is in the BCC conference room for the legal counsel update. President Commissioner Beartrager, Fowler, and DeYoung. Up first, we're going to have a pretty stiff agenda here today along with executive session with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of things on executive session and 5 leading up to that and 9 others. And we got a long day. Item number 1 is draft resolution referral to November 2, 2021 ballot renewal of adult jail and juvenile detention 5-year local tax option. Wally.
Still on track for a vote next Wednesday at the business session. Okay. And I have received a little bit of additional feedback even since last we looked at it last week. And so it should be in your board packet. And I'm trying something new myself here by looking at the laptop to see what the board packet consists of. But
just brought a new one in?
That's item number 2.
Oh, item number 2. Never mind. Thank you.
For that you have not seen, actually. Yeah, yes. That's going to be hot off the presses, literally. Yes.
Just to let the record show, the press is in the room. Go ahead.
And so the piece I wanted to consult you about regarding the adult jail. So in the first paragraph on Exhibit B, the explanatory statement, it states, I'm just scrolling down there now, it states by law the fund could be used only for adult jail services and juvenile detention services and related administrative expenses, which include finance, human resources, legal counsel, and information technology. And while it's accurate, do you want to put that constraint in the ballot this time? It was there last time. Or is that extra language?
If we say, go ahead, never mind.
If it's supposed to be the same as last time, it's supposed to be the same
as
last time.
Yeah, I'm kind of, don't touch it.
Okay, yep, figured
that. I don't want anything to trigger, well, this isn't the same one.
No, exactly.
Yep, okay.
I think we're okay. Yeah. And it's also in transparency, go, wow, I know you're going to have some bad men on that, aren't you? And this just dictates it.
Now I'm already getting attacked by Siegelman on it.
Well,
I couldn't believe how fast that took.
Thank you so much for taking Mark Seligman away from me.
Seligman, I'll probably get attacked for saying his name wrong.
Okay, so we're okay?
Well, actually, I do have one more. I just keep wrestling with. Back to the Exhibit A ballot measure. We've got those 3 bullet points about a third of the way down. And just says, first bullet point, maintain the current inmate capacity at the adult jail to allow intake of persons arrested in Josephine County. No quantitative value on that. It's just persons arrested. And we had the original drafts that all persons arrested.
All persons.
Of course, that was wisely removed as the language. So is that, I mean, I think it's accurate to say that.
I'm fine with that.
He's been able to stay with that.
Yeah.
If there was a problem that he couldn't do what he said, what this thing said, then we would maybe consider a change. But he's been able to follow that.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. You know, except for COVID,
they will be checked in a jail. I think that was the purpose of it when we were doing this 5 years ago. Is you're just going to let them go. But when they get checked into the jail, that's when we search for wants and warrants.
Yes.
And there's a lot of them that come in, and you would just say, in the old day, just catch and release. Now we're booking them into the jail, even if it's for an hour, 2 hours, or 5 hours. In that 5 hours or 2 hours, that's when we do all the background checks. We do all the wants and warrants, and we're not letting the bad guy back out just because we don't have a place to house him.
Right.
So I think that was very important. That was part of our campaign.
And the target kind of all along was at that 185,
yeah, 185.
Right? Okay. It's just not written in, which is okay.
The jail...
we want some flexibility there.
Right. You don't want to have to hold us to a number.
The thing that's holding the jail at 185.
No, you are pledging 185.
The thing that's holding it at 185 is staffing. It is not the actual. The jail is capable of 2 something, I think, when they built it.
Overall capacity.
240. It's an oddball number. But we're only going our current lodge is 185, and I think we can stay with that.
And you do stay with that in here, and that's reflected in the explanatory statement, Exhibit B. So I just say, it says, first measure of measure funding. The proceeds from this 5-year measure would maintain the present adult capacity at 185 inmates.
Yeah, I think that's good.
So you're...
It says it twice in here.
It does.
Yep, we don't want to make any claims that we can't.
That's it too, right?
That's the thing, so
That's where we've been, that's where we're going.
We asked for what we needed. And Jim, do you have anything in this? You're in the room. This has to do with juvenile also. Where this is juvenile detention director?
Yeah, stays at 14 youth offenders.
Jim Goodwin.
While you're here, actually.
That's our number, 14.
14, right. And it's 14 or zero in your case, isn't it? It doesn't ask you to go to zero. And
you got we contracted three vets.
Oh, cool. Correct.
Time
okay.
Closed.
Okay.
So that's up for that's a board decision at that point.
Sure.
How many do you have in there now?
Today we only have two. 40s.
Everybody's behaving themselves.
Yeah.
Summer.
I like that. It's summer.
That's right.
Okay.
Plenty to do.
One more, actually. Well,
yes.
Well, we got Jim. The
Jim, why don't you come up here, just in case, because, we're going to have something.
Wally's neck's
going to
get sore if you don't come up here.
Go ahead, Jim.
So the last sentence of the Exhibit B's explanatory statement just describes what the juvenile department does. And so while we got you here, let's go over that sentence. It says, services provided by the juvenile department include crime prevention and criminal accountability programs, gang intervention and graffiti prevention, anti-bullying guidance, substance abuse training, family counseling, short-term lodging for runaways, and youth suicide prevention.
Yes.
Okay.
Among other things, but I think that encapsulates. I mean, we have the residential treatment and things like that are kind of outside of this.
Okay.
But
bullets kind of hit what the community could understand.
Remember,
is.
We're going to have at least 25 people read the voter's pamphlet.
Right.
Exactly.
That's if they get it. Okay.
I'm done.
Anything else? Okay. Item number one, we're done with?
With item one.
With item one, correct.
Yeah. Item Next two one. Is draft resolution referral number to November 2nd, 2021 ballot. That didn't take long.
Would you?
Sneak out and get his own little deal.
At least he was here.
I guess freedom of the press.
Yeah. Oh.
Draft resolution referral to November 2, 2021 ballot, animal shelter and animal control 5-year local option tax. And that's what you just brought in. Correct?
What I just brought in, hot off the press.
This is this one here that just came in.
It is, that's it. And so we received the advisory group's language last week. And so I've since re-engineered that.
Did you make any changes?
Yes, I did, yeah. I've reordered it and I think tightened it up. And so we do need to actually spend a little bit more time on this one, just seeing what it's worth.
Because it is not a renewal.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. It is not a renewal. And we can't hint that it is. And so, and actually right off the bat, before we get into what it says.
We don't want to hint that it is.
No, we do not, even close. And I've avoided doing that deliberately. But one thing that is absent, and that's because I haven't been able to come up with a way to say it, is why is the amount going up? What I don't have in here is an explanation for why the amount is going up from 8 cents to 11. Because technically it is a new levy as opposed
inflation.
To inflation. Well, do we want to come up with an explanation for that or leave it alone or something in between?
Well, cost of doing business is
the explanation
up.
Is that right now they had a contingency. And then the last 3 years or 2 years or whatever it is, they've been using just very much like the sheriff has been using out of his contingency. That now is down to nothing. So to retain the current staff that we have, the current
and the current service
level of service, we have to go up 11 cents in order to make that even. If not, whenever we're taking out a contingency, we don't have a contingency anymore. That number of employees goes away, and if they go away, service drops. So,
and it's really on the shelter side.
Where do these contingencies come from? Since I'm coming in the middle of the movie,
right? They're built into their budgets in the past, and they try and keep them at that 20-30%, and
why are
getting
we using
down
them
to 10.
Now,
we allow a carryover because you up staff because they've gone from being a what do you call it youth and age,
yeah.
The animals now they're spending a lot more time, a lot more people involved in it trying to find the adoption.
It's
program.
A no kill
but
shelter.
Where are we going to get a contingency? Funds now. Before we had it. Now it seems like we don't have one.
Just individual budget for them. They would see it disappearing in like year two of this next cycle, and so this will fix it and keep it up to year five. And to have their normal.
This will be enough money to replenish the contingency funds.
It won't replenish
over
that,
time.
No. I don't think it'll replenish it. It's going to keep.
it'll build it back up.
And their budget is X number of dollars, and they've been getting some from up here, from the contingency, which was a carryover. We allow our departments to have carryovers. It's not, you no longer use it or lose it for most of the departments. Some things are, some things in veterans, if you don't come down from the state, if you don't use it, you lose it. But this is not the way it runs around here. They were able to save some money, and they had some money put aside, and they used it out of their contingency. Sheriff did the exact same thing. Parks has got a carryover of, they got a pretty sizable carryover now.
Well, I hope so, because, I mean, right now we're at 8% inflation, and we're in the seventh month. What is this thing going
to
look
like? I'll tell you what it's going to look like. I'm going to give it to you whole. I know you keep alluding to it, but I'm going to let you know so you don't have to say it again. I get it. At some point in time, if this economy doesn't straighten out and they don't stop the inflationary growth, we're going to find ourselves in Simon Harris' seat with no money, and we're going to say, okay, we can't go get any more money out of
that's
these people.
What I'm worried about.
And we're going to say, you have to cut back on personnel. In the private sector, you do the same thing. If I'm not doing enough total sales to cover people, they've got to go. Yeah.
Well, and some of the things that have eaten into their contingency over time has been the kind of a large event where they have animal abuse on a larger scale, and they have to go in and not only clean up the place, but find a place for all those animals, and that means other cities and counties have to take some of the animals, so it gets very expensive. Mm-hmm. And they've had a couple of those over the last couple of years that have buried that contingency.
Well, I know, we've donated hay, you know, and mm-hmm. they had horse rescues, we've done all that stuff.
Yep, so that's part of their unplanned, they can't really budget for
well,
that.
Well, I just want to point it out and put it on the record that...
Isn't that the line of questioning this is going to be receiving as this goes into the public discourse? And that's why do we even want to commit to committing this current service level, even with 11 cents?
Right.
I don't even know how safe that is or isn't.
Well, we'd probably have to ask the director.
Okay.
To be sure, because only she knows her budget.
Can
as
you
well
make
as,
a statement safe for inflation? Inflation, because we don't have any idea what it's going to be at current levels with current inflation or values. I don't know how you'd word that. And you're absolutely right. How do you word it?
That's what I bumped up against.
Yeah, but that's the reason why that, you know, when you say, what do they justify the 11 cents for? It's because they've been, you know, the price of everything went up, and their 8 cents doesn't cover it anymore.
So I would think it'd be to maintain current service levels for the 5-year levy period would be a simple sentence that
we have.
And that's something we're willing to take a stand on.
Right, I would want to run it by the director, but I think that's what I've heard as liaison.
Rob has something to say.
Keep in mind, if you're going to make that argument, that you might want to talk about the appraised base has gone up as well, which is capped at 3%. But theoretically, the base has gotten bigger too. So in a perfect world, 8 cents a thousand gets bigger, bigger, bigger. So I would get that caveat in there. They're going to say, well, what?
Yeah, why it goes up 3% every year anyway?
Because everything else went up more than 3%.
Yeah. We have Laura from the Animal Shelter Supervisors on Zoom if you guys have questions.
Oh, good.
Laura, you want to join us?
Hello. Yeah, so the 11 cents was determined because, like was already mentioned, the current contingency fund has been eaten away and we will expire that next year. The other large factor that I haven't heard mentioned today is that 45% of my animal care staff are funded by a grant right now that will expire. So we don't have those staff on county staff. They're through the personnel source temp agency. So in order to keep up with having that many people here to staff the shelter, we're here 365 days a year. And so to do that, we are not going to have the budget for that. We had to look outside of the budget just to maintain our staffings for the summer. We see really big peak months, May through October, with kitten season. So we would be able to probably wiggle that to be seasonal employees, but it has been very much, what's the word I'm looking for? It's been very apparent this year that having those extra people allow us to do our job much better and do a more humane and sanitary job of housing these animals. And so if we do not have the grant anymore and we stay at the 8 cents, I'm probably gonna have to take out 3 out of my 7 shelter techs who are here with us. So that's another big part that was factored in, not to mention, like everyone said, inflation, and not just inflation, but if you're a pet owner and you've tried to go to the vet lately, you know how the vet services are going around right now, and our surgery prices are higher than our adoption fees. So we're gonna have to look into balancing those out as all of our costs of services have also increased this year.
Questions for Laura?
No, thank you for that explanation. That helps a lot. Because we have a few words left, we can.
How do we put this in seven words that we have left, Laura? Break that down.
Good luck.
I'll come up with something.
Okay.
Yep.
One question, actually. I have one.
Yes, Wally.
All right, please, Laura. So you have how many full-time positions in your shelter?
So for animal care staff for the whole shelter.
Which number is important to tell the public about? Let's back up to that.
Both.
Okay.
So we have two part-time front desk people to cover 6 days a week. So I've got a 0.8 and a 0.4.
Okay.
And that covers every day that we're open. And then for animal care staff, I'm sorry, I can't mute this phone because it goes to the whole shelter. So I'm sorry about that. I've got 4 full-time and 3 part-time shelter animal care staff. 3 of those people are through a grant and a temp agency. And so of that percentage, the temps is a full-time and 2 part-times.
Okay.
I can write this out for you in an email too, if that would be better.
And those are funded by grants.
Please do, yeah. And the reason I ask, so the advisory board said that you have a shelter staff of 5 full-time employees. But it sounds like we'll need to.
Yeah, I think they were counting up total.
FTEs.
Bodies. And they, on staff, I don't think they included the temps because those are not in the budget.
I'll send this over to you and get your full take on all of this.
Yeah, I can get it all squared out.
Okay, excellent. So essentially that's just to turn to the rest of the text of the measure. As we've discussed, it's not presented as a renewal. Though on Exhibit A in the ballot summary, in the first paragraph of the ballot summary, it does state that this is an increase of 3 cents over the current rate.
Right.
So that is.
It's very clear.
Front True. That's made clear. Mm-hmm. Now you're pledging in the next sentence that funds raised by this levy can be used only for the animal shelter and animal control services. And then we've got the numbers, which I don't think were available last week, down at the bottom of the ballot summary. And those are provided by the assessor.
Yes.
So we've got the tax. I did have to say, actually in that sentence just above the numbers, it says the approximate tax increase for home valued, that's over zero. So it's not a tax increase from the 8% rate, it's over zero. Because essentially the presumptive tax is zero,
right.
Jumping up to 11. So yeah, that's right. Why we're talking about that as being a 19.45.
It's no longer 11 cents, right. It's not adding to the 11, it's starting with a new one.
It's going to go to zero unless
it's
passed.
I got to ask a question, the proposed rate will raise money approximately such and such. Do we have to put all of those numbers in there?
Yes.
We do, and then we have for a total of $5,299,000.
Yes, that's the standard language. Yes.
Okay.
And,
looks good.
Right. Okay. And then on the next page for Exhibit B, I'll just go very briefly through this. And definitely we can have Laura check my numbers when she gets a chance to see it. We talk about how, let's see where we can go. So the third paragraph, the shelter is part of the public health department, and it states about how many animals that have been cared for this year and describes the current services provided. There's no picture of loss being painted here in terms of if the levy does not get renewed. And so that was wrestling between this being a new tax technically as opposed to a renewal. So I'm not going so far as to say that all these programs are going to go away if you don't renew it.
Well, if this one fails, if the 11 cents fails, they don't have a budget. It goes back to zero. It doesn't go back to 8 cents. It goes back to zero.
And
so this
well,
is you bet
yeah,
your job.
They get one more bite at the apple in May, though, if before their levy term expires.
I don't think we can make the statement of what happens if this doesn't fail, because it goes back to zero.
So I'm glad you stayed away from that.
I think we should probably stay away from that.
I think so.
I have a question on the proposed rate and raise approximately and such stuff. I've always asked this. How much does the assessed value of properties, total properties in Josephine County, how much does that number go up when it is not blind to the eye of the normal people to see the Winco go in and the Home Depot go in, and those are $12, $15, $20 million assessments, and yet, oh gee, we just got the same amount of money we got last year. And how much does the total assessed value go up in Josephine County due to development? All the new houses being built, the bank going in, the car wash out by Les Schwab, those are all high ticket items that, you know, and big, huge houses and stuff. How much does it go up countywide? I never see that number.
Besides the 3% that's allowed by state law, you're talking
about.
You'd
be surprised how
that. It's 3% of whatever that number is.
But that
number
goes
up every year.
It's not a big number because
due to growth.
The big stuff like Home Depot and all that go through that economic development. You don't have to pay taxes.
Enterprise zone.
Enterprise zone, thank you.
But they stop in 5 years.
Well.
And now they're on the roll. So where did they go? And they're not all under enterprise because some of them get these employment requirements or the pay scale.
But when you look at the percentage of overall taxation, you'll find it's not as big as you think it is. I wish it
increase,
was.
Right.
I looked at those numbers once.
Well, I would like to.
John's looked at them before. You want to comment on that, John? I mean, when you were down there working?
I'm just dealing off of memory, but yeah. Between 3.5% and 6% is where it is, including new construction. And very rarely does it get around 6%.
Now, repeat that so I don't have the.
Sure, it's usually somewhere in the 3.5% to 6%, including new construction. But anything over 5 is pretty rare. So the commissioner's correct.
But
it's usually not new construction does not typically add that much in assessed value.
Did you say 5%?
Gross. So that includes the 3% that's mandatory. That's a good year. It's like when you say a Walmart or a Home Depot goes in. There's all sorts of other exclusions like the city's urban renewal that will take a chunk too. There's exemptions like
that's
the
true.
Enterprise zone. So there's
a lot of the
that
improvement
that
goes into that redevelopment agency.
I could go run down and get the pamphlet that
that's
tells
right.
you what it's been for the last 10 years.
Yeah, a lot of that
but
goes in.
You're right. I've always figured 3 or 4%. That's all it is. It's amazing.
Well, 3 or 4% of a couple of $1 billion is a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but in the grand scheme,
it just doesn't seem to show up anywhere. That every year, so this is what we had last year, so we're going to get an extra.
Well, and our costs go up at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
it's just curious.
Yeah.
I'll
was asking about the number, and everybody just kind of shines it off. And put it this way, if I could jump 3% in my personal business when I was in business with a net of running a net of 5 to 6%. And it was going to go up 3%, that's a 50% increase to me. I'd want to know how to do that, wouldn't I?
Well, you better do better than 3% this year in business.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Just a question, just a curiosity.
Yep.
Let's get on with it.
All right. Last point I wanted to discuss is on the final page regarding the Animal Shelter Advisory Committee. And so this was language that I took from the prior statements of prior times. The Animal Shelter Advisory Committee receives monthly reports regarding expenditure of levy funds and advises the Board of County Commissioners on animal-related issues. Does that sound like an adequate mandate for that committee?
Say monthly?
That says monthly reports.
Do we want to do monthly or quarterly?
I think.
Yeah.
Or regular?
Regular, yeah.
Okay.
And then
regular.
We can determine what regular is.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's better.
Do they... Sheriff's Department gets audited, just that they're staying within the confines of the levy. Is the Animal Shelter get audited?
I think
Advisory Committee, is their oversight is the Advisory Committee and the financial reports for the Advisory Committee.
I think we're the oversight.
I don't think there's an audit for the animal control.
I think we're it.
I know.
And so our audit basically comes at budget time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
By the board, the animal control board. Yeah.
Animal control board. I'm okay with that. Somebody's keeping an eye on it.
And commissioner liaison is supposed to be keeping an eye as well. Yep.
Animal control chickens, you get it?
Right. Chickens are a little
farm animal. Like I tell our department heads, I don't want to be in charge of your money. I'm just the fix-it guy. If you don't do your job right, we're the fix-it crew.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sums it up.
Sometimes that's not fun. Yeah. Okay, so that's it, Wally, on that
that's
one?
That's it.
Okay.
So no, it looks good.
This one's far more, that's far more complicated, isn't it?
Yeah,
complicated. It's complicated. Sheriff's deal.
I know.
But Andrew, you know, historically, the animal, people have come out for the oil before they've come out for the jail for some odd
They haven't. It is a small amount at $19 a year or whatever for average
that's
home.
That's good, but we got to still explain it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a good story to tell.
Item number three is proposed IGA of Grass Pass Irrigation for stormwater management. Commissioner Fowler, you've gone through this as I've gone through this with the city. This
sure.
is a similar discussion.
I haven't seen it from the county side, though.
No, but it's...
of course, you have some of the same relationship issues. Yes.
So Rob's going to give you the full background, but I'll just give you the short version of where things presently stand. So GPID has approached us through Rob with an agreement, and there's a number attached to that annually. And so I've been tinkering with the draft that they sent over, and I put probably too much time into trying to fix that. And so now I've kind of started over with our version of a fresh form on that. So that's why I don't have anything for you today, but it's work in progress, and it will be before too long. I know there's been an interest level expressed in this recently.
Yes, there has.
So I'm sure this conversation started with the big blowout at Sand Creek.
Yeah, prior to that. No, that's when it got quiet then, because they said, oops, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and once they started asking the city for money, you knew they'd eventually go to the county and ask for money as well.
And then just to back it up, and you can tell me, didn't the county agree to pay them years and years ago? Did so for 2 years and then just stopped because they didn't want to anymore?
We paid for a lot of years. It was $20,000 a year, I believe. Mm-hmm. For
and then
a
just
long
stopped
time.
And never stopped. It kicked it back up again.
Yep.
So this is kind of a bringing up of something that the county had agreed to do for a lot of years and just decided. We don't care.
Well, it wasn't. That was my call years ago, and it wasn't that we didn't care, but we were not seeing anything.
You didn't have any money.
We didn't see anything for our money either, quite frankly. But GPID has gotten quite a bit more responsive. The devil's in the details with this, obviously. As development pushes out, whether it's the roads, whether it's your roofside drain, whether it's parking lot, it all ends up in, often ends up in a GPID canal to get it to the river. So the question is, yeah, what's that? What does that cost to them? And I'm okay with the general concept of paying them something to help maintain their system. I've got a couple big concerns with this, though. The first one is I want some kind of language in here that will compel them when we ask for a fix that it happens. So a perfect example is two summers ago, there's a cross canal under Highland up there by Woodbrook. We bugged them for 5 years to fix it. Never did. We kept skidding it. The thing finally failed, so we just fixed it for $12,000. When something like that happens, I want to see that netted against what our payment to them would have been. We gave them ample opportunity to fix it themselves. They shined it. So I think there needs some kind of a trigger to say, you've got 180 days to fix this, or we'll fix it for you, and it comes off the net. The other biggie in here.
I think the key is that with an intergovernmental agreement, the agreement says that you're going to work together to get everything done.
Yes.
And if they're going to ignore it, I'm in favor of what you just said.
Yeah, just net it somehow.
But that needs to be written down somewhere.
Absolutely. And this, yeah, and again, I'm working off of their draft, so that's kind of where I jumped off. The other biggie in here, there is some language that talks about all new development shall result in no net increase in off-site stormwater runoff. I can't guarantee that. That's Mark Stevenson, and I don't think Mark wants to touch that. So development does, again, it leads to our ditches and or GPID canals, but you're talking roof drains, parking lots, all that stuff, and the city's fighting with the same thing with that MS4 language that talks about no net increase. So I don't see us putting in bioswales out in the county lands, but that's also a hurdle that is impossible for us to get over.
Well, I think that is coming from the MS4 or whatever it is, because they're where their stuff goes back into the Rogue River, they're responsible for it. And if everybody's dumping stuff, it's not from their irrigation water.
Well, but it's not the content. It's the noted increase. I can't keep it out of the system. Well, I can make sure there's not junk, but the no net increase is an impossible. But that's triggered by within the city where they've had areas where there's like on Starlight, there's been enough development to where more water sitting hard surfaces, and it's just about overwhelming GPID ditches.
As I said, we did the same thing in Fort Vinoy, and I talked to you about it before. I mean, we're the last few winters we haven't had that much. So we get back in the normal wet, we got problems again.
You got problems, but here's the
city.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
They're trying to avoid, and one thing that we need to think about, just like the city needs to think about. Okay, you're not going to put any water back in there. None of your streets are going to drain off into our irrigation canals. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars to put in a 100% catch-all storm drain system. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we all need to think about and say, as long as we're using that ditch, and they could close their whole system down in October when they quit pumping in. Their obligation to the district is over in October, and it doesn't start up again until April. Anything that's in that ditch doesn't belong to them. It belongs to somebody else, and it came from somewhere else. So that's what we need to look at.
And they could actually open those ditches into the city system.
And that's where we when we did the city, we had a how long do you use the canals for delivery, and how long do we use it for drainage?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can figure it out. There's a date.
Yeah, there's
certain.
A formula.
There's a formula. We had a pretty decent formula over there, but it got thrown out.
The other difference with us in the city is we have some primacy out there where we've got roads that are established prior to the irrigation district that are now using our ditches to convey water. So it's a lot more of a give and take with us in the district. And
yes, there is.
We're not looking to keep score, but we know that ditches that convey their water, those roads fail quicker. It's just easily demonstrable.
And
you've got a sponge for 12 months a year.
And the city's main problem was no response. They'd have a project planned, and the irrigation would be the foot dragger.
Right.
And they'd have to fix it themselves, and then what about the money you talked about?
Right.
And so when now we have a chance to do...
I hope you're not bringing up Drury Lane, because I'm not going to bring up Drury Lane.
And
I'm talking general terms.
And it's the absolute truth, you know, to the casual observer, you would think, you know, these irrigation districts, they got concrete ditches, you know, I mean, there's no maintenance for this. I will tell you, after 100 years of concrete ditch work, it takes a toll on it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lifespan even to concrete ditches.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, let's get, you know, I just want the spirit of the thing to be working together.
Mm-hmm.
Not working against each other, but working together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm okay with the general concept of annual payment.
I think, you know, in comparison to what, and I've known all the prior, most of them were from Grants Pass High School, the prior peak managers of GPID, and I think Don Miller's probably the most professional one they've had there in a while.
Don's done a good job. No,
he's done a good job, and he's, you know, I think he's demonstrated that he's willing to work together
mm-hmm.
to get the whole project done for the betterment of everybody, mm-hmm. and enough finger pointing to get the job done. So, the good work on it.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that concept. I think there's a couple of caveats, and I definitely need Stevenson will need to take a look at it to say, oh my gosh.
And you know what's really interesting? The Grants Pass, it even gets more complicated, because the Grants Pass irrigation ditch empties into the Fort Fenoy ditch.
Right.
And that's another problem why we get overwhelmed. So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, anytime we get a chance to iron out the details, we want to take it.
Yeah, hammered out. Mm-hmm. Keep working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good agreement. I'm midway through it. I think we've got a good give and take level of agreement.
And we did not budget for it formally this year, but assuming it done, I'd have every intention of this being the first year we pay for it, the 21-22 fiscal year, so we can make something happen prior to next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Anything else for Mr. Brandon?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, actually, and because they didn't offer a term, I was thinking 25 years. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and I noticed there was a five-year review in there as well.
Well, there is, but I think that's on a different...
On the annual fee.
Yeah, except on the annual fee. It was going to be an open-ended deal, so I was thinking we'd pitch 25 years.
We've got to have some sort of checks and balances in there, because as you said earlier, the city's going to keep expanding, and then it is no longer in the county's purview.
Right.
It becomes in the city's inventory, not ours.
We need to talk about that, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was a five-year, wasn't it, Darren?
I think it was.
Five-year upgrade, and it was also, the included river growth boundary went automatically into the city because it's going to end up being theirs anyway.
Right.
The only hurdle then would be annexation after that.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as it went into urban growth, it came out of the county's inventory, goes into the city's inventory.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That'll get revisited periodically. Okay. So more to come on that.
Okay.
Eventually next week.
All right. So
I'm optimistic.
Thank you very much, Rob. Item 4, proposed IGA with the City of Grants Pass for support of the DEMO.
Correct. So this is in the packet, and it's...
By the way, 1 and 2, we're going to move to the WBS. We already agreed to do that.
Yes.
So we also have
just for next, the record. Not tomorrow, next
not
Wednesday,
tomorrow,
right?
Next Wednesday.
Okay, so I drafted up this intergovernmental agreement regarding the Destination Marketing Organization.
$30,000 goes to the city. It's a straightforward agreement, as reflected in the packet. Section 1 says county agrees to pay city a total of $30,000. Section 2 says city agrees to spend at least $30,000 in support of the DMO. So that's the agreement.
I could agree.
So in other words, is this saying that we pay the city, but if the city says we're no longer going to pay because this thing didn't work out, we've still got to pay them $30,000 and they're going to spend $30,000. There's no, if the city no longer wants to be a partner, we're still under this. No, it's between us and the city, right?
It is. Okay. Either way, the DMO gets $30,000.
Yep. And if the DMO went away or whatever, then this agreement would also go away because it's going to be a part of that same discussion. And this one, we hope to replace with a transient lodging tax eventually when the city comes back off of 12% and gets back down to 9% if they ever do. Then we could support this and maybe some more. But for the first 2 years, we can use COVID money for economic development, so that'll soften that. And it keeps us in the room with the city with that, because there's a lot of destination that's outside of the city limits.
Well, you know, the perfect storm would have been when we wanted to do ours. If the city and county were truly working together, the city would have said, let's go up 3%. We take our 2% inside the city, you take 1% inside the city and 3% outside the city, and we're all happy. Then we all got money to give to the DMO. But as it was, they said, no, you're 2%, you aren't doing that anymore. And they ended up doing it, which cut us completely out of the loop in that. Well, and I've got a sour taste in my mouth.
You do, but they were trying to do that to cover the police levy that failed. So I don't know what the new discussion is now that they've got the levy passed, why that is not coming back down.
My wife will always tell me, why didn't you tell me the whole story instead of just part of it?
Just part of it.
Because I could have helped you with the whole story.
Well, gentlemen, I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible, and I hope that in the future that I don't have to be critical. So, that's what I
appreciate.
You ain't wired that way. Commissioner, I'm sorry. Okay, so we're all set on this one?
Send that to the business.
Item number four?
But technically, you don't have to. It's under the board, it's below the board approval level, but I figured
we
want to talk about
it. We want to talk about it.
It's honored, and it'll go to the WBS.
That's where it's at.
Anybody want to? All of these, I think we can. Do you want to, at the WBS, do you want to be there, Wally, for 1 and 2?
Sure.
And then we'll see. Rob, are you? Well, we aren't going to the IGA for the district on that.
No.
And Wally, you want to do this one also?
Yes.
On the DMO, so you'll be there on the at the meeting. Item number 5, broadband RFQ responses. Wally has that, and we have
John
McCafferty in the room. John, can you come up and join us, please?
Did you get all of my son?
Not yet. No, I haven't tried. I was talking to my daughter. She wanted to help spend the money.
Okay.
So this one we talked about a little bit last week, how we got 3 responses to the broadband mapping planning implementation infrastructure improvements throughout the county, and it was framed as an RFQ. We got 3 responses, and some we were happier with than others, and then the broadband subcommittee said, hey, maybe we want to just let this fall to the wayside and start with an RFP. And so I was going to have John kind of explain that a little bit. My temptation was just to keep moving forward and have them refine these into an RFP, those 3 responses. But John, you were there at the meeting that I missed with the broadband subcommittee. So
I'm late to the game. I went also to a webinar all day yesterday. I think you attended it, Commissioner,
at the beginning,
a little bit. So the RFQ got 3 responses that the subcommittee strongly felt was about more about engineering than planning and project management. The original thought was to go back to those 3 people with a rescoping question, so that we could get more narrow responses. The more they read it, the more they felt that really we needed a new request for a proposal based on more of a planning project management type situation. And I reached out.
Did all 3 of them want that?
So I reached out to one who wasn't as vocal, and he said also that he thought that that was the better direction. I don't know that we can't get that from rescoping the three that we have. My eyes were opened a little bit yesterday's webinar in the scope and costs of broadband projects generally. Tens of millions is a more popular number than single millions for ongoing projects. And the length of time for wired infrastructure is a lot longer than I was thinking. These are multi-year projects. So there may be some reason to get it right the first time. It also may be just as viable to go back to these three and say, you know, get us what we need, and what do you think? So really, I'm just looking at marching orders.
Does this fall under any of the conversation coming out of Washington, D.C. about infrastructure?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that.
So in other words, we aren't going to have a good possibility. We don't have to shoulder the whole.
Yeah, we're going to find partners in the library district and the school district.
And so on and so forth.
I think there's a lot of money out there for broadband.
Yeah.
You just got to start looking.
We just need to have the right document and the right company to drive the bus, so to speak.
There's state money, there's going to be federal money. I think rural broadband is starting to be a very robust conversation.
All you got to do is that it would increase their ability to vote. And that'd be it'd be happening overnight.
So they ship or emails from the federal government.
No.
So if we went the route of not really totally starting over, but kind of starting over and writing an RFP, would you and Wally be involved in writing that RFP? And so it could be very specific to what you just described as being more planning and
Yeah. So if I'm going to run with this project, this will outlive my tenure, but if I'm going to run with this project, I'd be comfortable with working with legal counsel to do that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And
you have a sense of what it is they're looking for here?
I am getting a sense, and it's a subcommittee of citizens who have been in the business a long time. It's not always easy to get that sense distilled, but yeah, I'm starting to get there.
Carefully said, sir.
I love his work.
Well, and with that, I think we could get more responses, and because really only two of those companies even sounded like they wanted the job, and so it'd be nice to have seven or something to look through.
Do we even know how many people we're talking to?
Would use broadband?
This whole scheme. Maybe scheme is not the word, but the whole thing is going to affect.
A sign up is about, well, that's one good thing we need, Commissioner, is an actual assessment of where we are
where
now.
We are.
But about 68% is the number that I consistently hear. When they are offered the service, people will take it. Now, whether they get government help in paying that service and how much it costs, that might be different. But that's the number I've been hearing.
It's Webb Foreman.
Webb Foreman?
Mm-hmm. $69 a month.
Okay, that's the company.
I'm wondering, you say 68% or whatever it is would use it. How many of those are serious users are going to use it for something constructive other than
Netflix,
YouTube, right? Facebook, and the normal.
Because it seemed like we're very underserved. I saw some stats recently that say, you know, it was down around 30% are happy with their internet. We want to get that up to the almost 70%. You're never going to get 90 or 100, but especially with our geography.
What is changing, I think, and my eyes were opened yesterday, was it's not do you get 3 megabit down, can you do email? It's the money behind the ARPA money is 100 down, 100 up.
100 up minimum.
It's a robust, not business connection, but certainly a residential connection. Or a small business connection.
We didn't have it out there. We're only 4 miles out of town, didn't have it. You know, now we have it. We're running 3 households on it, and everybody's watching their TV and doing their computers. So I don't know how much that is,
right?
But it's working for 3
households.
You got
a line of sight service off of Beacon or Baldy.
Baldy.
Yeah, that I think is a popular way to attack these rural.
It is, but this is looking more at wired than it is wireless.
Well, that is more robust in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, I think given our topography, wired probably is way better than...
It's more expensive.
Way more expensive.
But more expensive to get there.
To install. Yeah.
But this place, it looked like a porcupine. This stuff doesn't go very far.
Yeah, line of sight.
All over the place.
Line of sight.
Yeah, and you can go like 7 miles. It'll go pretty far.
I was going bally to where I am. That's more than 7 miles.
Yeah, it could be. Huh?
Yeah.
Be close.
That was Webb Foreman.
Yeah, Webb Foreman, I think, is a kind of, because I just got the bill. That's why.
Right, and I just moved in the neighborhood, so I was listening. Well, what do you guys think? Should we go back and do an RFP?
I think you guys talk it over, but I think let these two come up with something for an RFP.
Okay.
I think let's get farther down.
The subcommittee said RFP. John's leaning a little RFP. I was the one kind of leaning towards let's keep our foot on the gas. And so I like this logic. Now, what did you say earlier, John, whether to get it quickly or to get it right? And I really do want to get it right.
There's some thought there.
Yep.
But I'm okay the other way, too.
Well, you know, a lot of times, if a person has a respectable proposal, if he doesn't know what he's talking about, you'll see in his proposal also.
Right.
Rather than just qualifications. The RFQ is just bragging.
A lot of these were boilerplate. They could have been meant for anybody.
Right.
They just switched the name to Josephine County.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Right, okay.
So are we talking buried or hanging more stuff on PP&L poles?
We'll look at the cost of both.
Of ways.
Yeah. I know PP&L is starting to be pushing back. They're hanging too much stuff on their poles.
Yeah, there is a direction, though, to leverage the electric companies by legislation as far as
making them participate.
Well, trust me, if they do that, it will be in the benefit of the power companies.
Yeah, they won't short themselves.
We're familiar with the power companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we?
So RFP.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. And thankfully, we're starting over.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yep, we're starting over. And we'll offer it to those same companies. They'll have the same opportunity.
I'll communicate that to them.
So and now.
Keep our broadband subcommittee really happy.
Cool.
So thanks, now, y'all. Let's get with this. We're going to go into executive session. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, 2021, and it is 2:17 p.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 6A is county real property at Sportsman's Park. However, we are going to move D, which is real estate purchase and sale agreement. County purchased real property on Shadow Mountain Way. ORS 192-6602E will go into the A's position, and A will take the D's position. B will be Sportsman's Park Master Plan Amendment, ORS 192.6602E. Item C is quick claim deed from Josephine County to Danielle Andrade for sale of 4 county properties sold at the fall 2019 auction, Foreman Creek Road, 330 Waldo Road, 31 Paradise Ranch Loop Road, and 37065 Redwood Highway under ORS 192.6602E.
There's a reason they call that Foreman Creek.
Exactly. Item E is County Real Property at Airport, possible lease at 2010 Tacoma Street, ORS 192.6602E. And item F is extension of lease agreement with the Illinois Valley Rural Fire Protection District for lease of county property at Lakeshore Drive, ORS 192.6602E. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. The only change that I have in that first paragraph is it previously announced the changes between A and D. Recorder will now be turned off at 2:19 p.m. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 3:03, and we are back in open session, coming out of executive session. Legal counsel update continued is item number 7, quick claim deed. Well, let's just go right on down through this. Item number 6A County Real Property at Sportsman's Park, ORS 192-6602E. We had an update on that. Item 2B, as before mentioned, Sportsman Current Master Plan, and we got an update. Item C, Quick Claim Deed. We are going to have, that falls under item number 7 coming out of executive session. Item D is we are going to item number 8 coming out of executive session. And item number E, County Real Property at the airport, possible lease of 210 Tacoma. Yeah, we're looking for more information. So there's a lot of questions raised about this, and we'll have more information later. F, extension of lease agreement with the Illinois Valley Rural Fire Protection District for Lease County Property, Lakeshore Drive. Received information and proceed with the amendment to see that to happen. So now back at number 7, quick claim deeds from Josephine County to Daniel Andrade for sale of 4 county properties sold at the fall 2019 auction. The properties are listed Poor Man Creek Road, 330 Waldo Road, 31 Paradise Loop Road, and 37065 Redwood Highway. So I would entertain a motion to approve the quick claim deed for those 4 properties.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and second. Any further comment on that?
No, sir.
This is just spinning off of a program that we came up with, Elaine and everybody's involved in it, to make, when we do go to auction, to have a down payment and a payment system. And this falls within that particular purview. It's a, in fact, it's a, just kind of a model way of the way it's supposed to happen. It kind of gets people put a little bit down and then figure out how they should. You used to have to have all cash, all in a big briefcase or cashier's check the day of 100%. This opened it up to more people. So item number 8, real estate purchase and sale agreement, county purchase of real property at Shadow Mountain Way. We'll move this to tomorrow. Tomorrow's WBS agenda. And item number 9, can we move that to agenda tomorrow without, is it noticed for tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, it is noticed for tomorrow.
Is it noticed for tomorrow?
Tomorrow
okay.
It is.
Great. Okay. Okay, thank you. Wanted to make sure that we had that amply noticed like we're supposed to.
Sure.
Item number 9, additional subject matters from commissioners. Anything you guys got?
Yeah, I got something. I talked to Commissioner Dyer over in Jackson County, and we've been noticing these marijuana raids, or whatever you want to call them, that have been being conducted by Josephine and Jackson County sheriffs in both counties. We're finding out that a lot of the people that are actually working on those grounds are non-English speaking and don't have any ID. We detain them, we question them. We don't question them really, press them really hard. They're just workers. But we're finding out that there's no accommodations for them to live. We've all seen it, we've been there. They don't have any money. A lot of times they don't get their food deliveries. And they better be quiet because their families are endangered back in where they live.
Okay? Called a cartel.
So if you really think about this, this is a new modern type of slavery. It really is.
Yeah.
It's human trafficking, and it's a form of slavery. And it took me a while thinking about it, and I says, that's exactly what it is. And to be honest with you, Oregon is turning a blind eye to that. And so I think that we should consider drafting a letter and teaming up with Jackson County, because they're experiencing the same exact things that we are.
Right.
And that the 6 commissioners send a letter to the governor bringing this up to her awareness of what's taking place.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that would be important.
You know, the first time I was told to me, you know, I go, so what do we do? I ask the sheriff, what do? We detain them, we question them, and then we let them go. And I go, where do they go? Well, they start walking down the road. They don't have vehicles. They don't have money. I don't know where they go, yeah. You know? And they don't speak the common language here, so it's got to be hard for them to communicate. And this is really kind of outrageous. Yeah. When, you know, and
I wonder, you know, we had a deal where it used to be, I think you were on board it, when the sheriff, it's up north somewhere, on the Columbia where they detained somebody and called ICE. They had them in the jail.
Oh, right.
And they found out they were here illegally, and they called ICE, and boy, the big lawsuit came down, and so we're not allowed to do that.
That's no, why, we're a sanctuary state.
That's why
state.
They're completely untouchable. I wanted to try to ensure that for safety on Greyhound buses that ICE be able to go on and check ID, and I got slapped down and got called a racist, and I don't know how many letters to the editor from people I thought I knew, and all I wanted to do was just basically have them quit dumping people off in the parking lot over here, and between Scott Chancey and I, we had a program to. If you got a ticket to Grants Pass at night, you went to Medford and then got transferred back to here. So you were being dropped off in a lighted terminal rather than a parking lot pouring down rain with absolutely no place to even get out of the rain. So you got to be really careful. Maybe that's why we don't question these folks. We're not really allowed to. We'll have the Joseph Rices and all the other ACLU and everybody else down on us. Because we're really not supposed to do anything about that group of people. But you're absolutely right. I mean,
well, I had a long conversation with Val Hoyle yesterday, who's the bully commissioner, and she wants to come down here and meet with us and Jackson County, and bring a team down here because they're clearly in a huge violation of multiple bully. Regulations.
Sure.
Not to mention human rights.
Well, it is. It's human trafficking and it's slavery. And currently, the state of Oregon is turning a blind eye to it. And so, it's time we take some action on that and shine some light on it.
Yeah.
So
we've all been there. We've all seen.
Well, I've seen.
Let's,
it. Yep.
We've all
let's
seen.
Look, yep. Let's look at some sort of a resolution involving that. Is that what we're looking at?
Resolution.
Yeah.
Resolution? A letter. I think it's a letter. I think that Wally, give Rick Dyer a call and see what his thoughts. I think they're going to be fairly parallel what I just stated. Yeah. But he said there's exactly what I said is what he's getting from his sheriff, too.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same
thing.
So.
That all you got to have
right up. Wasn't that enough?
No, yeah, not out of you. I always liked it. Anxious for these. Yes, Mr. Fowler, do you have anything?
I don't, sir, not today.
I had a question on, it looks like our positive testing is going up, and it seemed to me that we've got quite a few letters on a resolution that Douglas County made. There's dozens of different counties that have said we're not going backwards.
Okay.
If you want to shut this state down again, we're not going to
let's
participate.
Let's take a look at the documents and see what they say.
Sure.
Yeah. See if there's something along that line, because we, you know, you need to do this because, you know, we've got a variant coming, and I get called that we didn't do enough to do COVID. You know, I got a really nasty letter that I'm probably not going to respond to. I'm going to let that person go ahead and hate my guts until for the rest of his life and my life, and I'm okay with that.
You know, Mr. Chair,
but that's okay. There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm not going to do about it.
Just over this last
sorry for his loss.
Last weekend, I watched two videos by two doctors talking about this issue that is so counter of what CDDC is saying. And then on Saturday morning early, I listened to a radio show, and it was a doctor out of Florida. He's on the radio a lot, and he's a cardiologist. He was a completely the other way. You know, the sky's falling, you better start wearing your mask and everything. And it goes right back. Everybody's got MDs behind their name, and we're getting two different messages, and you wonder, what do I believe anymore?
Yep.
What do I believe?
I believe in herd immunity. I believe that you're going to test positive. If they tested for flu when everybody got a cold and just kept testing until you were looking for something, it's going to appear. You look for gold, you're going to find it. You look for water, you're going to find it. It doesn't matter. Depends on how hard you look for it.
There was a former congressman I just seen. I can't remember his name, but he just said he was going to have a meeting with Vice President Pence, and he had to call it off because he's got the new variant.
Yeah.
And he goes, I've been vaccinated twice.
Yep.
And he's still caught.
And I caught it, and I got the new variant. So he had to cancel his meeting.
And they say it's like the one I heard the other day was it that it's only a 1%. You know, if you've got both shots, you're almost down to 1%. You're just flat unlucky if you get the next variant, which I don't know how they can say that. But, you know, and then, but then again, you have people that say they got vaccinated that really didn't get vaccinated. You have people that got vaccinated that don't want to let anybody know they did get vaccinated. So,
right.
You know, it's 6 1/2 dozen. Yeah, then you got people. Here's Governor Brown that's been pushing vaccination to giving away $100,000 locally here and $1 million over there and yada, yada, yada. And now they get a big group saying, Governor, please shut up. You're killing the vaccination. We're trying to get people vaccinated. And because they don't trust you and you say get vaccinated, it's counterproductive. So, I think this thing's just going to have to run its course and the name calling won't stop. We're just going to have to sit here with big shoulders and take it, I guess. We're not going to get, some of the accusations that were made about us three commissioners. I just can't hardly believe it, but.
That's all okay to print and okay to be on YouTube.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's fine.
As long as it's against the commission.
I would just, you know, I always keep an eye on YouTube, but I was going to bring my phone in here because there's some pretty nasty stuff on YouTube, but it's all got to be the fall. It's all got to be the truth because they fact check everything, don't they?
Well, and our governor's office has been kind of quiet, and that makes me a little nervous.
I was going on to, I read, and I don't quite understand it. I haven't followed as closely as I should, but that's those two school teachers that got fired.
Well, that ain't over yet.
And that isn't over yet, but I was quite, how do I say this? I was surprised by that in a quote-unquote Christian town, Judeo-Christian community. I was quite surprised by that. But
My biggest surprise was that it
may have been a point that the questions that were asked were pointed at arriving at an answer to that question without any embellishment. You know, did you do this? Yes, I did. Can I explain? No, you don't need to explain. You just broke a rule. And that may be what the school board was looking at. I don't know that. But yeah, you're right. I don't think this is going to be over.
I did not like the tiebreaker, the individual that was the tiebreaker, being escorted to
the side.
The side.
Yep.
And then comes back and votes. That happens in the legislature, and I never liked it then, and I like it even less at the school board.
Yeah. I thought the chair did a good job of laying out an argument that they didn't break those rules. And so, and like you, I agree. I thought that our town would fall down on the side of God and righteousness and not end up following this cultural, whatever you want to call it, cul-de-sac or whatever we're stuck in, Eddie.
Roadblock.
Yeah, roadblock.
Roadblock.
And so, but I think those teachers are to be championed for what they did. And I think that they're going to have no problem finding jobs in the future because private schools are going to have more attendees
over
the next 5 years.
This is the beginning of the end for the public education system. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And yeah. I think that those two good, strong women that stood up for what they thought was right, I think when they asked, when God asked Lot, you know, find one who amongst you who will follow me. Those two ladies would have saved this whole town.
So just some little numbers that's kind of interesting is right now we have about 16,000 school districts in the United States. In 1930, we had 120,000 school districts.
Wow, that's something.
That's a big drop.
That's consolidation, if I've ever seen it.
Right.
Smaller government, I like it.
Well,
one thing to keep in mind about this too, though, is it is part of a larger cultural trend in that. So, I don't know if this is what was said to those. I honestly don't know if this is what was said to them. But if the following message had been told to the board members, then it would have caused them to take pause. I suspect, which is that if the governing body is perceived to have gone on record endorsing a certain conclusion, then the next applicant who disagrees with that conclusion the next employee who disagrees with that conclusion could have a way of coming at the district on that basis.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not saying these people were totally irrational, if that's the message that they're
to me, going back to their original thing, and I kind of read through it, followed a little bit, but it and you could correct me. There's a boys' restroom and a girls' restroom, and all they wanted was for gender people that aren't real sure what they are that morning, that they have a gender-neutral bathroom in public schools.
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
Is that
what they were trying to comment on proposed legislation, which at the state level, which I think is what you're supposed to do, is to be a part of the process. They weren't arguing about a law in place. They were saying,
give their opinion.
Yeah, they're in their opinion, this legislation isn't quite mature enough. It needs to have this in it and this in it, and that's the process. And I can't believe they got in trouble for that, because that's what we do in America. We talk about it before we pass it. We don't wait till afterwards to try
we
and
used
lawsuit
to do
it,
that.
Right?
They used to.
They will be rewarded. Let's just say.
Yeah, really.
Okay.
Their reward may not be at the district.
Anything else, Ellen?
No. Let's go.
We are adjourned.
We said enough.
We are adjourned at 3:20.